Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Okay. It's my happy privilege to be here tonight. I'm certainly glad to be here. It's a real privilege to be here. I've never been here at Oswego. This is the first time I've ever come here. But it's a real privilege to be here. Looks like we've got a busy night. We've got people in this building. We've got people in this building. We've got people out here. So looks like we've got a real busy night. Our first time here, not our first time in Canada. We've ministered in Canada a number of times. We've always had a real blessing, had a real good time in the Lord, and always had plenty of people to preach to. I don't think we've got all that many from the reservation here tonight, but we have got some. And I thank God for that. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here because we do things perhaps a little different. It's not that we are any different. We're just another person, and we're trying to do whatever we can, our little bit for the Lord Jesus and for His kingdom, and trying to reach His people and trying to help His people in every way that we know how. But we do things a little bit different in that as the prophets of old, the prophets learned to be moved by the Spirit of God and to be led by the Spirit of God. And on many occasions, we find them doing things that seem to be strange and going to places that seem to be strange. Yet it was the mind of God that was ordering their steps, that was foretelling of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we found something years ago that changed our entire life. Preaching, traveling around, going from place to place across the world. We had a good time in the Lord. We fasted, we prayed, we preached, we won souls, we visited, we talked. We've done all the things that Christians do. But one thing that I did not know for many years, and that is that there is such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I knew the Bible spoke of it concerning the life of Paul and concerning the life of John, but I had never experienced it, nor had I ever met anybody that had ever experienced it in all of my traveling. So one day God spoke to me about this, and of course, when He started talking to me about it, I really truthfully thought I had lost my mind. I thought I'd just gone clear out of my mind. I thought, this is just preposterous. You know, I just can't get a hold of this. This just can't be. I come to learn that it is the great, wonderful, unveiled mind of the Son of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, even the hidden mysteries that Paul spoke about, that these mysteries are now made known to the church. For the Bible said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Even this wonderful heavenly treasure that's in heavenly places, we now have it in earthen vessels. And coming to find this, then God began to move differently in my life and to move me, as He did the prophets of old, to certain places at certain times, to certain people to say certain things. And it has been so magnificent and so astounding because it has taken in the entire scope of the world as to things that He has shown me and people that have been involved, both great and small. It has been such a tremendous thing that He has brought one confirmation after another. Even in international affairs and international happenings, even in universal happenings. And it is so beautiful to walk in that kind of a light. As a matter of fact, my wife said today, she said, you know, said God must be in you coming to these places and going to these places like Oswego. Said because the others said they have their meetings in places like Toronto and different places, and the Lord leads you to these places, so there must be something about it. And of course, I can assure you that with a short conversation that we had just over at Dova a few minutes ago before we came, that Betty would tell you tonight that it is absolutely astounding the reason why we're here at Oswego tonight. We could say to begin with that the meeting is a complete failure because we only have a few people from the reservation. That would automatically, according to numerical order, make it a complete failure. But you can't imagine what a successful meeting this is already. As a matter of fact, if nobody had come out, But I thank God because there is something that is taking place that's so magnificent that it not only has to do with Oswegan and the Indian nations, in that they call this the place of six nations, but it has to do with the international affairs of mankind and the coming of our Lord Jesus. It's so beautiful. I'm glad that one day God raised me up into a place to where I could see what He was doing in the Spirit and see this astounding thing that God's doing concerning international affairs and the soul of mankind. So it's not only a religious thing, it's a great outstanding thing as to the coming kingdom of the Almighty God. But the one thing that we want to emphasize tonight is Jesus. And we're here on the simple side of it just to say this, that we're here to talk about Jesus and the love of God and to encourage your faith in the Lord Jesus and to try to enlighten you as much as we're able to in the things of Christ. Now, as I've said so many times, it's been my custom down through the years in preaching across the nation and across the different parts of the world, it's been my custom to never choose a text and to never mark a text in my Bible as a rule, to never have anything to preach from until I come to the sacred desk, and whatever He tells me from there and whatever He gives me, then that's what we go to and minister on. And of course, speaking of the mysteries of God tonight, without being aware of it, as always, it's just like He does always in my meetings, I turn right to chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, where it says, beginning in the first verse, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved son, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech ye, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness?" Paul here in his writings is about to visit the church. And he says that he is going to visit it either one way or another. And that is, he's going to visit in the spirit of meekness, or he's going to visit it with a rod of correction. And he tells them before he comes that he is a steward of the mysteries of God. Paul was so great that the people received him as the Lord Jesus himself. When he came into their midst, they received him as the same as if it had been the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Paul never drew back from that. As a matter of fact, Paul He taught that it was not He Himself that lived, but He said, it is Christ that liveth within me. And He said, the life that I now live, He said, I live by the Son of God. It is not I that liveth, but He said, it is Christ that liveth within me. So then Paul did not draw back from the fact that they received Him as the Lord Jesus, because he knew that he had laid his life down for the Son of God, and that he had been in prison, he had suffered, he had been stoned, he had been shipwrecked, he had been beaten numbers of times. He received stripes on his back, being taken before the whipping post for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though he did not delight in the fact that he was abused and mistreated, he did not delight in that, in that he begged God to move it. He went to God and he said, Lord, move this thing. This is a thorn in the flesh to me. Everywhere I go, the messenger of Satan buffets me. No matter what town I go into or what place I go into, he said, the devil is there to buffet or to stir up a riot or cause me problems. And he just buffets me and puts me down everywhere I go. Every time I begin to be lifted up in the eyes of the people, then the devil comes and does something that causes me to be cast down in the eyes of the people. And he said, Lord, I want you to move this. But God said to Paul, Paul, this thing is of me. And he said, my grace is sufficient. So don't worry about that. When you're cast into prison, when you're beaten, when you're stoned, all of these things, it's to show the people the life of Christ in you. It's to show the people the suffering that Christ went through. For as it is said, prophets do not dwell in palaces, and they don't dwell in kings' houses. And so then he said, Paul said, don't worry about this. Just endure it. Go on and have faith in God. So Paul then began to rejoice in his infirmities. He began to take delight in his persecutions and being cast down and being mocked. He did not look for a high place. As a matter of fact, God told him, said, Paul, you've got so much revelation. You've been into such great mysteries. You've moved into such a great world of mysteries until if I didn't let the devil follow you and do these things to you in the eyes of the public, you'd be exalted beyond measure. They'd make a king out of you. People would not be able to restrain themselves. Your knowledge and your wisdom is so magnificent that it's, as the Bible refers to it, it's like that of Stephen's when they beheld his face as that of an angel. And Paul's wisdom even greatly exceeded that Stephen had gotten a hold of. And the Bible said even his face shined as though it was the face of an angel. And God said, if I didn't let this happen to you, Paul, he said, you wouldn't be able to keep yourself away from the people. They would throng you and they would make a king out of you. They would lift you up. As a matter of fact, on one occasion, they ran and fell at Paul's feet and began to call him God. And they thought the gods had come down from heaven to visit them because of the great way that God moved in Paul's life. And Paul rent his clothes and said, nay, I'm but a man as you are. And I come here by the leadership of God, just a heifer of your faith, and scarcely restrain the people from doing sacrifice unto him as a god. He was so mighty. He was so great. You know, and so then that should let us know something. That should teach us a lesson. And that is that when we are persecuted of them that are around about us, that we should not grow discouraged. When we're having problems and others doesn't seem to have those problems, then we should rejoice. When people are saying all manner of evil against us falsely, and we know that we're not guilty, and we know that we're not doing anything wrong, we know that we're holy and just before God, we should greatly rejoice in it, because them that God loves, people of the world want to put down. Them that are highly esteemed in the world are abomination in the sight of God. People that gain great reputation out here in the world, among men, those people are abomination in the sight of God. You'll find out that they're manipulating in certain places, and that they're cheating and swindling, and they're working things to their own good, and they're boycotting against others. Seek to magnify themselves and to lift themselves up. And the Bible said, if a man magnify himself, if he lift himself up, if he exalt himself, then God will abase that man. But the Bible says that if we humble ourselves and we be humble in the sight of God, and we do like Jesus when he came to wash the disciples' feet to show humility, then he said he would exalt us, and then he would make us great, and no one would be able to put us down.
like David of old. He took David from among the sheepcote. And he said, David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, and I've given you a name likened to the great men of the earth. I've taken you from among the sheepcote. I've taken you from the hillside, and I've given you a name likened to the great men of the earth. Now, this is what I like to see and like to think upon, because I found that humility goes before honor. Humility always goes before honor. See, when you are humble, you are in for a blessing from God. When you start finding humility and start humbling your heart and humbling yourself before God, whereas David said, I humble my soul with fasting and prayer. That's a good way to do it. But when you begin to seek humility, greatness always follows humility. And humility is always the forerunner of greatness. You never find greatness with God, not true greatness, unless you come humbly before God. I know that out there in the world, people get great. They lift themselves up and they become great. And they spend their lives trying to build themselves a reputation. But the Bible said the Lord Jesus sought not to make of himself any reputation. He wasn't looking for a reputation. He didn't seek a reputation. He was seeking the perfect will of the Heavenly Father. The Bible says that when you follow after God, he said, and my blessings will make you rich and add no sorrow. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I will bless you with heavenly blessings. He said, and ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. Ye shall bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither. And whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. And the Bible said, I will make your enemies to be at peace with you if your ways please the Heavenly Father. So then, humility before honor. Now let's just take an example or two. Here's the woman that comes to the Lord Jesus. And she says, I need something for my daughter. I need your help. The Lord just kind of boldly looked at her and he said, woman said, it is not fit or meet that I should give the children's bread to dogs. You know, they referred to the Gentiles as being dogs. Back in that time, the Jews were referred to as God's chosen people. They didn't know any better. They really thought they were, and they were chosen for a purpose. One day, God let them know that he was no respecter of person, that he feels the same toward all mankind. But at this time, Jesus, having been born among the Jews to bring on the Messiahship, to go to Calvary, to die for our sins, to do away with our trespasses, here he is in that Holy Land. I'm sure some of you have been there. We have. And there he was in the Holy Land, or over in the land of Palestine, in that area over there. And this woman, she comes to him. And she says to him, Lord, I need something from you. And he said, why can't give the children's bread to dogs? Why, you're of the dogs. And, you know, she didn't get upset. She didn't get indignant. And she didn't act up and feel insulted. The average person would have felt insulted. They would have said, well, if you feel that way about it, you know, just keep it. But not her. She had humility. She had the secret. She had the secret key that unlocks the heart of God. She had the secret to greatness. Humility is the key to greatness. Always it's a forerunner of greatness. The Bible says concerning Moses, he was the meekest man in all of the land. And yet he was the greatest man that lived that day, the very greatest. God even witnessed of him, saying, and in all of the land there's no one that's like unto my servant Moses. There's not one that's like unto my servant Moses. No, not in all of the land. And the people lifted up their voice against Moses. It really upset God. Even his own sister, his own brother, God would not let them lift their voice up against Moses. He said, wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses? Said, he's the meekest man in all the land. There's no man in the land that's like Moses. And so then here comes this woman, and she said, yea, Lord, I know that you can't give the children's bread to dogs. But she said, the dogs eat of the crumbs, Master, that falls from the children's table. And Jesus just literally marveled. You know, he marveled and he said, oh, woman, he said, great is thy faith. Now, wouldn't you like to have great faith? I'd love to have great faith. Great faith. The Bible speaks of it in one place. It says, and great faith. He said, oh, great is thy faith. Think about that now. It doesn't matter if you are a woman. You know, you can be a woman, you can be a man. It doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with it. God does not judge you as to a man or a woman. Though man has his place and a woman has her place, yet God doesn't judge you like that. See, God is the creator. He created you a woman just like he created me a man. Why then should God be respect a person? Why should he think more of a man than he would a woman, or more of a woman than he would a man? See, why should God do that? He doesn't. All God wants to see is faith. If you can produce faith, God will accept your faith. And you can have great faith if you have humility with your faith. You're going to have humility with your faith. And if you have humility with your faith, you're going to have great faith. And God marveled through the Lord Jesus Christ and looked at this woman and said, "Old woman," he said, "great is thy faith." He said, "Just tell me what you want and you can have it." Now, isn't that wonderful? When we can come to the place to where God can look at us and say, "Tell me what you want. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Just tell me what you want." And he said, "Woman," said, "great is thy faith. Tell me what you want." And you know, God gave her the desires of her heart right there. Now, to show you that God is no respect of person, on another occasion, a man came to Jesus. And here this man came to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord was preaching, you know, preaching his sermon here and there and going about carrying the gospel. We've been over the trail, over in the Holy Land. Just follow the trail where Jesus went. And it's astounding how he did it as a man. But nevertheless, he was preaching the gospel and going from day to day, fasting and praying and seeking the Heavenly Father, being filled with the Spirit over and over and over. And there he was preaching the gospel one day, and a man came to him. And this man said to him, said, "Master, I desire something of you." And Jesus said, "What is it?" Oh, that was the essence of it. You know, "What is it? Now, I desire something of you, Lord." Said, "My servant lieth at home, and he is grievously tormented of the palsy. And I need your help. I need your help." Jesus compassionately looked at him, and Jesus said, without respect to personnel, Jesus did not question him as to how righteous he was. Jesus did not ask him as to his church affiliation. Jesus did not try to find out how many times he prayed, how much fasting he had done. Jesus never tried to find out what he belonged to. He just simply said to him, "I will come and heal him." Isn't that wonderful? God personified in a human body, God in a human temple, God walking the earth in a human body, tabernacling in the body of his son Jesus, this great God of compassion just gently reached out, as we say, with his heart, and he said, "I will come and heal him." But remember, humility goes before greatness. Humility is what brings the answer. Jesus was testing the man. Just like he tested the woman, he was testing the man. See, this is where we fail a lot of times. God wants to test us. I remember my daughter wrote a song one time called, "The Lord is Just Testing Your Faith." See, the Lord is testing us. That's what he's doing. He's testing us to find out what kind of people we are. And so then God began to test this man. Just as he tested the woman, he was beginning to test this man. And he looked at him and he said, "I will come and heal your servant." And the man looked back at him and the man said, "Lord, not that." Said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that ye should come under my roof. I'm not worthy that ye should do that. Lord, I can't ask you to come to my house. I'm not worthy. I don't put myself in that kind of position. I don't feel like I measure up to that. I don't feel like I'm that kind of a Christian. You know, I just don't feel like I'm worthy." You're God Almighty. That is, you're the Son of God. You walk in the earth. You're the great master. Everybody knows that. Wherever you go, the sunlight of heaven shines, and people receive deliverance and healing, and people are inspired to great, wonderful things, and you have eternal life. Lord, I just can't picture myself that ye should come under my roof. I just can't picture that. I'm just not worthy." And the Lord marveled again. And the Bible said that the Son of God looked upon this man and literally marveled. And he turned around to the people and he said, "I've not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. I've not found so great faith." I marvel, he could have said, at this faith. You know, on one occasion, Jesus marveled at their unbelief. So there he stood again marveling at this man's faith. But what was the secret of this faith? "Oh, great is thy faith, woman. Say what you will. And here is a man now, and Jesus is looking at him, and Jesus said, great faith, that great faith again. I've not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. And he said to the man, he said, go thy way, and according to thy faith, so be it unto you. And the Bible said the selfsame hour that the servant was healed. See, humility before honor. Humility before honor. There the man stood in the midst of the multitude. There he was, just a common man, like everybody else. There he was in the midst of the multitude. But the God of heaven honored him in the presence of the people and magnified him by pointing him out and saying, folks, do you see this man standing here? Look what great faith this man has. And there he was magnified in the eyes of all of Israel as the man with great faith. And not only was he magnified as to the words of the Lord Jesus, but he was magnified to the extent that the proof came when they found out that his servant was healed, because Jesus said, according to thy faith. So then the humility, that great, wonderful humility, is the forerunner of greatness. That humility is the forerunner of greatness. Look at the Lord Jesus, our chief example. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus, he said, take my yoke and learn of me. Learn of me, he said. Take my yoke. I've got a yoke. I've got a yoke of righteousness. You know, you yoke the oxen up, you yoke the horses, you yoke the mules, whatever you're plowing with, you know, you put the yoke upon them. And especially in the olden days. See, take my yoke. I've got a cross. I'm carrying a cross. I'm carrying a burden. I've got a yoke. He said, but take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is to do the will of him that sent me. My yoke is to conform to his will and desire, to plow the fertile fields of God, to bring forth the harvest unto the God of heaven. But he said, take my yoke and learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I've come to condescend to men of low estate. He says to you and I, be not high-minded. But he said, condescend to men of low estate. Don't seek to make a reputation of yourself, but seek to please God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible said all of these other things will be added unto you. I'll make you rich. Add no sorrow. Ride you upon the high places of the earth. The Lord said, I'll give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in me. I'll do this for you, Jesus said, if you'll take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. He said, and not only that, but if you'll ask the old paths, walk therein, not move the landmarks of the old fathers, he said, you'll find rest to your soul. For all the paths of God are peace. All of the paths of God are peace. And they that keep their minds stayed up in Christ Jesus, the Bible says they shall have perfect peace. So again, I say that there is faith before humility. Now, let me take just a few more minutes. I know I'm running late tonight and I'm not going to hold you long, but I just want to bring this little message of exhortation to you tonight to encourage you, to let you know the power and greatness of faith and what faith can do. Now, you've got faith. No doubt you've got faith. You wouldn't be a Christian if you didn't have faith. So you can't say that you don't have faith. But let's talk about just for a few minutes now. Look, how does faith work? And we've got a lot to say about faith that we won't say tonight. But how does faith really work? Faith can be working one minute and not working the next minute. Did you know that? Faith can be in full blossom one minute, and in the very next minute, it can be all gone. That's faith. See, this is why the average individual does not receive what they want from God. To have faith, the Bible said we have to assure our hearts before God. And how do we do this? By doing the things that please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So then, faith, if I'm going to believe in the mercies of God and in the powers of God and in the things of God, I've got to walk with God like Enoch did. Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and then his faith was so great, the Bible said he was not, for God took him. So then, faith, this faith must have an assurance. Peter, standing on the boat, though the waves and tide was raging, he saw the Lord Jesus walking out on the water. And as Jesus walked on the water, he said, if that be you, Lord, beckon to me and let me come to you. I want you to see this just for a moment. Said, if that be you, Lord, I want you to beckon and let me come to you. And so then the Lord said, Peter, come on. Now, there was other people on that boat outside of Peter. There was a number of people on that boat. But see, when God said, come on, Peter, meet the challenge, Peter jumped overboard. He didn't lean to his own understanding. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That is the Word of God. See, trust in the Word of God. So then he said, come on, Peter. And Peter jumped overboard. He didn't use any reasoning about it whatsoever. He said, that's God, and that's God's Word, and God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. And overboard he went. See, the others didn't do that. Today, Peter has a record. And that record is that he is the only man that ever walked on the water like Jesus did. He has a record of that because he dared to trust God and take God at His Word. And here Peter, the great master of faith at that moment, he's walking upon the water because his eyes are upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's watching the Word. And what the Word has said, he has it in his mind, and he's walking masterfully upon the water. Even the people on the boat are literally astounded. See, that could have been a mirage. That might have not been the Lord Jesus. That could have been a mirage. That could have been some mystic thing. That could have been a hallucination. But Peter believed it was God. He believed it was the Lord Jesus. And overboard he went, and he began to walk on the water. And you know what? He continued to walk on the water until he took his mind off of the Lord. When he got his eyes off of the Word, Jesus, and got his mind off of the Lord, he began to consider circumstantial environment. He began to consider the things that was around him and the boisterous waves, and all of a sudden Peter's faith failed. Just like that, it failed. See, your faith can be in full blossom one minute, and the next minute it can fail you altogether. You've got to have your mind on the Word. Think on the Word. Meditate in the Word day and night, the Bible said. Cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then Peter, just for a moment, took his mind off of the Word, and down he went. Now, he didn't lose all of his faith. He retained enough faith to believe in the mercies of the Lord Jesus when he held his hand up and said, Lord, I perish. And the Lord grabbed his hand because he believed that much that the Lord would have compassion and pick him up. And the Lord said unto him, wherefore didst thou doubt? O thou of little faith. Folks, I tell you what, that really shakes me up. I don't know about you, but that really shakes me up. Here's a man that's walking on the water, a man no one else ever did it but Jesus, and even that man, the Lord says, O thou of little faith. I think, my God, little faith walking on the water, but you know, it is little faith compared to what you can do. It's little faith compared to what you can do as a Christian, folks. Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, and he commanded the moon to stand still. And Peter and him was preaching, contend for the faith that Joshua once had, or the saints of old once had. Moses commanded the waters to roll back. And many mighty things happen at the hands of the great prophets and the leaders of old. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and devour these people. The earth opened up and swallowed the multitudes up because Moses spoke. So then you, as the sons and daughters of God, in the hour that we're living in, you've got the opportunity that no man has ever had on this side of Enoch. No man has never had it until Calvary came and the great faith came. And the humility of Christ came to be put in your heart. And that opportunity is that you can bypass death. You can bypass the grave. We're living in the age now when the faith of God and the saints of God is going to grow so great. Till Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of Christ, and behold, I show you a mystery. He didn't explain the mystery as to the entirety of it unless you can understand what God was saying through the Spirit. But he said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. That is, we shall not all sleep. But we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so then there is something from mortality to immortality, from the terrestrial to the celestial, and we have opportunity to come into it. We've got an opportunity to bypass death and to conquer death for all people. This generation has that opportunity Behold, I show you this mystery, Paul said. God is going to bring a people on the face of the earth that will master death and overcome death by the power of believing. And it will be so great that the graves will break open and the dead in Christ shall rise and come out of it. You know, this is beautiful to me, folks. What a challenge to the church to make us masters, members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us into that supreme power and greatness of God. And remember this, humility goes before honor. I'm going to say this, likewise, a haughty spirit goeth before fall and pride before destruction. When people get haughty, you can always watch them. Down they'll go. And when they get proud, down they'll go. They'll be destroyed. Let me say this in closing tonight as just a little exhortation to you. Tonight, we've got a busy night. All around us, folks are busy doing things. But you know, all that is of the flesh shall perish. All that is of the flesh shall perish. You know, this doesn't sound too good, and I know it doesn't. We all love our people. We love the people, especially in ministry. God loves His people. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. But in this generation, He speaks of a sinful generation. He said there would be a Laodicean generation, which means a lukewarm generation. He said, I'll spew them out of my mouth. They'll be religious, but not righteous. They'll be churchgoers, but not holy. And He said, I will spew them out of my mouth. They will be an ungodly, an ungrateful, an unthankful generation. They will be an adulterous generation. They will dress in such a way to lust after each other, man and woman. They will not have any constraint of heart to be holy and to be godly, nor any desire to be righteous before God. He said, and when this generation comes on the face of the earth, that will be the end of the world. That will be the end of the world. Folks, we're living in the end of the world. How do you know? One of the things He said, they would love pleasure more than they would love God. Pretty obvious tonight, isn't it? Pretty obvious tonight as to where the love is. And the Bible said, if the love of the world be in you, the love of God isn't there. The love of heavenly things. We're going to inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit all things, or inherit the earth. We're going to inherit all things. These things that the people love so much, they love to eat, they love to drink, they love the refreshing, they love the convenience. They have that desire, even to the point of being gullible, that they want the convenience and comforts of this world. But folks are going to lose all of it, because they're not seeking the God of heaven that made it and the God of heaven that created it. To seek the kingdom is to receive all things. But because they're seeking the things rather than the Creator, and they love the things more than the Creator, then they're going to lose all of that thing that they're rejoicing over. All of that thing that they're rejoicing in, they're going to lose it. But you know what? Every good and perfect gift, every good thing, we're going to have it. Not one good thing are we going to lose. We're going to have the world and the fullness thereof, every good thing, because we're seeking Christ and we're going after the Lord Jesus. And we're glorifying the Creator, and that pleases Him so much that He's going to give us the creation. So I thank God. I remember the Bible says this. I'm going to say it in closing. The Bible said this, not only has God placed this world under subjection to the saints of God or in the hands of the saints of God, but the Bible said the world to come He hath not put under subjection to angels, but rather He has put it under subjection or in subjection to the sons of God. That we not only have this world, in that the revelation of God tells us that the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever, but we also have control of the world to come, the great world to come. And that world is about to make its debut or about to appear. So I say this to you in the way of consolation tonight. We have an opportunity to have faith in God, to have great faith in God, that we may have the desires of our heart in the natural, in the physical, and in the spiritual, as the threefold blessing of God is. I want you to stand with me tonight. A lot of things we'd like to say to you, but as I said, I know that we're late. I know that we got here late. And I've taken a good bit of time, even as it is, exhorting you. But I thank God for the wonderful opportunity of being here. It's such a great opportunity just to be here and to have a part in what God is doing. To meet some of the people, to know the purpose of our coming. God has been good to me. He would not have had to have made me known the purpose of the coming. He could have let me have been in darkness. Many places I go, He would not have to reveal to me His purpose. And I could grow very discouraging, or very discouraged at times as traveling around the world. But He lets me know the purpose, and He gives me great, wonderful blessings and great meetings. And He helps me to know His purpose. So tonight, it's a real privilege to be here at Oswego and to be able to talk to the people. Whereas we speak as the oracles of God, the Bible said, if any man speak, let him speak as that of the oracles of God. And it's not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within us. Paul said, not us living, but Christ that liveth within us. And so then we are here by the revelation of the Lord Jesus. I told him a year or so ago, I said, there'll be a meeting up in Canada. No one can deny that there's a meeting in Canada. We're here. By foreknowledge, the Lord saw it. And as He revealed it to us, so it is tonight. Here we are. Now, we could be many places because they've asked for our minister around the nation. And we could set great meetings, advertise them for as much as 15 to 18 months, and have overflowing crowds. And sometimes we do have outstanding crowds. But I'm here. I prefer to follow the revelation of the Son of God because of the greatness of what's taking place. And so here we are. When I made mention of the meeting, immediately Canada was contacted. But they wouldn't let us come into the reservation. And I said, not now because it's not time. I said, but they will. It'll work out. So this year I told them, I said, it'll work out this year. And I said, we'll go preach. They'll let us in. So of course they said, sure, come right on. So here we are tonight, and being in this community hall, there's a great, great significance. I don't have a chance tonight or have time. The time would fail me to explain to you this wonderful thing that's taking place. But there's one thing that I want to do, and that's encourage your faith. Paul said we're helpers of your faith. I want to encourage your faith and let you know that something wonderful is happening. And to those that come, there's great meaning and great significance. I want to take just a few minutes and sing a little chorus with you. And I want to invite you just to come up here around the altar as we sing and give me a chance to pray with you this first night of the meeting. Let's sing the little chorus, Sweep Over My Soul. Can we do that? We sing this real often. I'd like for you to sing it with me. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing that one more time with me? For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more.
tempest, it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
While we're standing here with our heads bowed tonight, wouldn't you like to just step out? Come up here. Wouldn't you like, all of you, just like to step out? Come up here tonight, just together around the altar. You know, the Bible said concerning the minister, it says, whosoever you bless shall be blessed, and whosoever you curse shall be cursed. For it is not ye speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. And Jesus said, according to your faith in the Word of God that we speak unto you. So we bring a blessing to you. And the blessing of the Lord, you say, why should I have the blessing of the Lord, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord being upon you, the Bible said, and if they blessed, then they shall be blessed. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and doesn't add any sorrow. The Bible said godliness is profitable for this life and also the life that is to come. In the world to come, it's going to be profitable. But in this world, godliness will bring you a great, wonderful blessing. It will bring you riches. It will bring you fame. It will bring you honor. The Bible said concerning David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, David. Just a little shepherd boy sitting out on the hillside. But David, you found favor in my sight. And I've taken you from among the sheepcote, and I've given you a name like unto the great men of the earth, David. For I raise up one and I put down another. By me kings, princes, and great rulers reign, because I am the one, David. I'm the one that maketh rich without sorrow. I'm the one that wounds. I'm the one that binds up. I'm the one that blesses. Can evil come to a city? Now, I've not sinned, it saith the Lord. I create the good and the evil. I have my way in all things. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. He said to Nebuchadnezzar and the others, that you might know that God rules in the affairs of mankind. And so then God is the ruler. He's the supreme ruler. And tonight, God wants to bless you. And God wants to help you. And God wants to make you rich and add no sorrow. He wants to make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. He wants to raise you up and give you the great name like he did David of old, as a great, wonderful person in the earth. Because when you are lifted up and magnified, then God is magnified, because God is magnified in you through the greatness that he has given you. Isn't that wonderful? While you bow your heads with me and close your eyes tonight, acknowledging the Lord, looking unto the Lord, great things is happening, people. The world doesn't see it. The Bible said God has blinded their eyes that they should not see when good cometh. And Lucifer, Satan, even the god of this world, the prince of this world, hath blinded their eyes with intellectual reasoning and intellectual darkness. God refers to the intellectual as being darkness. And intellectual darkness, their own understanding, he said. God has blinded their eyes that they may not see when good cometh. But aren't you glad tonight that you're not blind? I'm so glad tonight that we're not blind. The Bible said, ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. For ye shall know when good cometh. Ye shall see, ye shall know, and ye shall understand, and it shall not bypass you. And so then tonight, as I feel the mighty anointing of God tonight, the mighty moving of the Holy Spirit tonight, the quickening, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, that same Jesus, that same lovely Holy Ghost, that same wonderful Holy Spirit moving in our midst tonight, it makes me glad that I'm at Oswego. It makes me glad. And my, what is taking place tonight, you could write volumes of books on it tonight. And that's no exaggeration. So tonight, while we've got our eyes closed and our hands lifted up, just before I leave tonight, I want to pray with you. We'll be here tomorrow night, the good Lord's will, to encourage you, to help your faith, to encourage your faith, to drop in another key, or to tell you something. Humility is the key, but to drop in keys and to tell you things that will encourage your faith or help you to be ready for that divine translation, to bypass death or to overcome sickness, to overcome poverty, to overcome the temptations of the flesh and the things that men and women are being harassed with in this day. Satan is literally trying to trample down the mind of humanity. And he is working in such a way that their minds and spirits are literally being oppressed until they are harassed all the day long by evil spirits and evil powers and thoughts that are suggestive. But folks, we can have victory and we can have strength and we can have joy and we can have peace. So as I pray for you tonight, let me pray that God will bless you. Let me pray that God will bless you financially, but first spiritually. The Bible said, I would above all things that you be in health. That's one of the blessings, a physical blessing. He said, I would that you be in health and prosper, another blessing, even a natural blessing. Even as your soul prospereth, there's another blessing, even the spiritual blessing, the eternal security. He said, as your soul prospereth, I would that your body would be healthy and that you could have all the good things of life. I've come that you might have life in that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. For I am the Prince of life, and I delight in life, and I make all things to come alive. And death flees from my presence. Death didn't come by God. The Bible said God hath no pleasure in death. Death came by man. And we're going to overcome it by faith in God. Some men brought it, even the man Adam. But the man Christ Jesus took it away. And we're going to have faith in that. That God may have His way. For He is the God of life, the Prince of life, the overflowing, wonderful well of salvation and life. So as we pray, I want you to receive this blessing tonight. I want you to receive strength from God and receive blessing from God. And remember to have great faith. Add humility to your faith tonight, like the little woman did. Add humility to your faith, as the man did concerning the servant that was healed. As Moses, as Jesus, so that you can make that faith that you've got great faith, and it'll bring you the desires of your heart. Great is thy faith, woman. Say what you will, and you can have it. Decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. Ask in faith, nothing wavering, don't doubt, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. So tonight, even as these little ones stand here around the altar, I want to pray. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with them. Let God do something for you tonight. Let God do something special for you tonight. I believe He'll heal your body tonight. I believe He'll take the oppression away from your minds. And I believe God will give you the blessing financially that you need, spiritually, physically, the natural blessing that you need. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, as we gather together in one mind, even the mind of the Lord Jesus, and in one accord, and that accord is to do the will of the Heavenly Father. God, as I come to you tonight in the name of Jesus, I ask that you look down from heaven. Forgive my sins, Father. Forgive the people's sins. And by the righteousness of your Son Jesus and the finished works of Calvary, I want you to heal tonight. And I feel you healing tonight, Father. I want you to heal tonight. If there be any kind of sickness in these bodies tonight, I want it healed, Father. And I want a good testimony. I want them to come testifying of healing and deliverance. I want you to create an atmosphere to where there will be peace and rest and the feeling of refreshing from the throne of God. I want you to do it tonight, O God, in your wonderful name. I want you to do it tonight. I want you to heal. I want you to forgive. I want you to save. I want you to lead. I want you to guide. I want you to open up the minds to spiritual things. Lift the oppression, Father, and bring that blessing tonight. If there's anybody here that's not saved, oh God, I want you to save them. I want you to reach out tonight, not only here in the auditorium, but Father, I want you to reach out through that ball game tonight. I want you to reach out through the community. God, I want you to do like you did when we were in India. Father, when I ask you in India to reach out through the surrounding areas, Father, the mighty Spirit went out and convicted people. Oh God, that was in the apartments or that was miles away. And dear God, I want you to do that in Oswegan. I want your Spirit to go out into these homes, Father, and visit these people in their homes. And I want you to stir them. Father, this is the hour of revival and the hour of stirring, oh God. And I want you to revive and I want you to awaken. And I want you to stir these people. And dear God, I want you to bring conviction And I want to see the hand of healing, the hand of salvation. I want to see the great hand of God to bless these people, to prosper these people, to open their hearts, dear God, to bring them the desires of their heart, to turn them away from the things of the world and turn to heavenly treasures and heavenly blessings, that they can be a great and a mighty people, Lord, that all the world may see their light and rejoice in that light. Father, and glorify the heavenly Father because of good works in Christ. I ask you to do it tonight, to sweep over them, to sweep over them tonight, and to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus or two together tonight just before we dismiss, can we? Let's sing that song, "We'll Enter His Courts with Thanksgiving." Mm-hmm. We're going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're going to enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say, "This is the day that my Lord hath made." We're going to rejoice cause Jesus. Can you sing it with me now? If you really mean it, sing it with me. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made. Sing it one more time. Going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say, "This is the day that my Lord hath made." Going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it one more time. Going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter God's courts with praise. I'm going to say, "This is the day that my Lord hath made." And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it now. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it now. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Can you lift your hands up and say, "Praise the Lord"?